Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner on our way to our children's literature conversation, one of many we're going to be having this summer, one of my favorite topics. I'm reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's national foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. And before we jump into our conversation, Beverly Burke is back with us with a breaking news update on the latest Supreme Court decision. Beverly?
As we told you last hour, the U.S. Supreme Court says that the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, that it restricted federal marriage benefits to heterosexual couples. Now, it was challenged on the basis that it denied equal protection under the law. That has been struck down, and right now the justices are actually going through 26 pages, I think it's Justice Scalia, on that dissent question. Now we are getting word that they have not taken up and never took up the Prop 8 case because it was not properly put before them. So right now you can imagine that back in California, the governor and attorney general will now have to figure out how gay marriage can continue in the state. Proposition 8 was never taken up by the court in this case. In fact, part of the dissent is going to be based on what was part of the Prop 8 argument. Again, the U.S. Supreme Court extends federal benefits to same-sex couples, striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, known as DOMA. Back to you, Mark, in your studio.
Thank you, Beverly Burke. We are joined here in studio by Jessica Brown, who is the Children's Services Coordinator for the Enoch Pratt Library. I should say that there's a matter of disclaimer and openness that I'm on the board of the Enoch Pratt Library, which is not why they're here, because they do such great work with our children. And Paula Willey, is that right? Not Wiley.
Yep.
Willey. Paula Willey is part-time librarian at the Parkville branch of the Baltimore County Public Library. Good to have you with us as well, Paula.
Thanks, Mark.
So, folks, join us at 410-319-8888. What are your kids reading? And if you're a young person yourself, what are you reading right now at 410-319-8888? Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. And if you truly are a young person, you tweet. So tweet us at Mark Steiner. Let us know what you're reading, what you're thinking about. So we have piles of books here. I love this. So let me pick a book and let you jump in it first, right?
Sure, sure.
So let's go to the one I see in the center of your pile, Sugar.
Sugar. Sugar. I brought a bunch of books that qualify as historical fiction as well as being fun reads, because a lot of kids are given a reading list for the summer that says you have to read one historical fiction book. So a historical fiction doesn't have to be, you know, boring or...
No, it's my favorite. I love historical fiction.
Great. I'm glad to hear. A lot of times you say it to kids, though, and their eyes cross.
Oh, no. My youngest daughter, the youngest one in the family, loves historical fiction.
All right. Well, this book is called Sugar, and it's about a 10-year-old girl living on a Mississippi plantation in the late 1800s. Her life is going along pretty much as expected. It's kind of hard. And then Chinese workers arrive, and she begins to learn a little bit about their culture, and there's conflict that goes back and forth between the two groups.
So,
should I pick one?
Pick a book, any book.
Well, I would love to talk about Doll Bones. Ooh. By Holly Black. And it's getting a lot of buzz right now, and it's this really great introduction to horror for kids. So it's before you delve into Stephen King, this is where you want to start.
They're supposed to read this as bedtime reading?
Right. Well, you know, for a certain kid. And it's the story of three best friends who are right on the edge of, you know, leaving childhood behind and going into adolescence. And they play pretend. They play with dolls and action figures, and they let all of that go, and they play with the China doll in the cabinet. And there's a whole spooky story about a young girl's ashes that are inside of this China doll. And they have to get her to her burial site. And so it's this adventure and this, you know, leaping into adolescence. And it's spooky, too, but it's not so horrifying that, you know, a fourth and fifth grader couldn't enjoy it easily if they are predisposed to liking horror. So it's a great one.
Have you read it?
I have, and I really enjoyed it.
Is it scary?
You know, it actually is pretty spooky. I'm not going to lie. But in a really good way, so, yeah.
So what are your kids reading? 410-319-8888. See, these books grab you a little bit here and what you're thinking about. Do you have that in front of you because it's something that you want to talk about immediately?
No, I have, because it was bigger, actually. I have here one of the graphic novels by George O'Connor's and his Olympian series. This is Zeus. There's four books out in the series. They are very cinematic graphic novels with a lot of excitement to them. And there's this terrific – they're really great for kids who like Percy Jackson and the Olympians, if you know a kid like that. And most of us do. There's a lot of great back matter about the Greek myths and about Greek culture that sort of extends the book. And that's an ongoing series, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know it. I do enjoy graphic novels.
They're fantastic.
They're not just for kids anymore.
They're not.
Well, they're great for summer.
They are good for summer. Yeah, absolutely.
You really want to encourage leisure reading and reading just for fun rather than just from the list.
Because so many kids now have list of books they have to read before they get back in September, so it can make reading like a chore. As opposed to a joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got. We'll talk about maybe a picture book since we haven't hit one yet. This is actually a wordless picture book. So this is a book that is all pictures with no text. And it's a kind of a trend I've seen. I know, Paula, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. This is called Inside Outside by Lizzie Boyd. And what's wonderful about wordless picture books is you can tell the story a different way every time you read it. And so this particular book starts inside, and the paper has two cutout windows. So when you flip the page, the windows move from peeking to the outside world to peeking to the inside of the house. So you see something different, which was there all along, but it looks different depending on how you turn the page. And what's great is, you know, parents can enjoy the story with an older child or with a younger child. You can tell the story to a very young child who doesn't even speak yet, but it's something different every time. It's just so delightful and so beautiful. And the artwork in these types of wordless books are always supreme. There was a Caldecott winner by Jerry Pinkney, The Lion and the Mouse, which was gorgeous and not a word on the page. So it's a really cool kind of book to check out, and I'd recommend that for summer. It's very breezy and fun and new. So,
folks, I know your kids are reading. 410-319-8888. I know you're reading to your kids. 410-319-8888. What is grabbing you this summer with your children? You know, my daughter is 16, the youngest one. Has to read. Things Falling Apart.
Oh, okay. Chinua Achebe.
Yeah. Which I read years ago, and I actually studied with Chinua Achebe for a brief time. Amazing human being. And so I'm rereading the book now so I can reread it with her.
Mm-hmm.
An incredible author. And he's that kind of author who's an adult author, but especially the way he writes, teenagers can really consume a book like that and enjoy it.
There's a terrific book list for that, adult books that are appealing to teens, and it's named after Margaret A. Edwards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Who was a Enoch Pratt librarian. And there will be adult books that, you know, have that teen appeal, and especially good for advanced readers or people that have a little bit more, you know, are looking for a little more insight than, you know, your regular vampire romance novel.
Absolutely. And on the other hand, there are teen books that adults are reading, too. There's book lists for all of those as well.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really crosses.
Well, Mark, I can tell you what my kids are reading.
What are they reading?
My boys are 10 and 11, and my son Ezra has just finished The 13-Story Treehouse by Andy Griffiths, which is a profusely illustrated, very goofy book about two friends, Andy and Terry, who live in a 13-story treehouse, magnificent treehouse.
13-story treehouse.
It inspires almost any kid to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and design his own ideal treehouse.
That's a fantasy we've all had, I think.
I think so.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether it's a telephone pole or a tree, I'm saying how you can kids fantasize about how they can build something that does not exist. That's the coolest thing that you could find.
Yes, absolutely.
That is their very own place to have adventures. At the
Visionary right now, one of the artists there that they at the American Vision Arts Museum in Baltimore, Key Highway. Is this artist who created these incredible tree houses that are just complex. And I walked through it, and I was like, oh, I want to live there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to live in that house, in that tree.
That's like kind of demented Barbie dream house.
Yeah. Exactly. I was thinking about another book, before we go to another one of your books.
Sure.
I was thinking about another book that was, I think, made for younger people, but it really doesn't belong just to them. And that is Philip Pullman's Dark Materials trilogy.
Yes.
One I just gave that to a girl yesterday.
I love it. I mean, it puts Harry Potter to shame.
There's a lot involved with that. I gave it to an 11-year-old girl last night at the library, and her dad was right with her. I'm like, okay, there's a lot to think about here. This is not just, you know, the race through trilogy.
Absolutely. A lot of meat there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I love those books. Yeah. The movies did not do it justice at all.
Well, the movie
did not do it justice.
Yeah, that was
– that's often the case.
Yeah.
Often
that
the case.
And the Percy Jackson movie were the two worst adaptations of children's literature I've seen recently.
Oh, yeah.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888, and talk about children's books, what you're reading, what your kids are reading. 410-319-8888. Cheryl and Perry Hall, you're on the air. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a 7-year-old who started reading at a very early age, and I am noticing a trend in her elementary school with the young girls really gravitating towards Monster High novels. I don't know if you've heard of that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not liking it at all. They even have these reading clubs called Monster High Clubs, and you bring the book and you read, you know, and they read parts of the book. And so, you know, I'm really trying to get her to navigate more towards the novels that I used to read when I was younger, like Judy Blume, Beverly Cleary, and what it was, Amelia Bedelia, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so many things out there right now. And for a young reader in elementary school, what do you suggest, like novel books?
Well, those are interesting. And before the answer question, Cheryl, why are you not enthused about the book?
Monster High, because it deals with zombies, and I think it's sort of very morbid type. I mean, even though they do something I think that's positive, I mean, the monsters kill other monsters, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that, I still just feel somewhat uncomfortable with her reading. It seems a little too mature and adult for me, you know.
Some thoughts for her?
Well, I mean, I think you're definitely right, Cheryl. You know, as a parent, it's your responsibility to decide what you feel is appropriate for your daughter. But I think there are some other things that you can steer her to that are maybe more what you would find as suitable content, but that would kind of reach over into the realm that she's interested in. If she likes the monsters and the spooky, there are some tamer books for 7. So she's going into second grade or going into third grade? Is she? Do we have Cheryl?
Cheryl's still there. Cheryl?
Is your daughter going into second or going into third grade?
She's going into second grade.
Into second grade. So she's still on the young side there. I would suggest some books. You know, you can take her down the classics if you want to walk that path, but she may resist that since she's really into Monster High and some of the demons and the monsters. There are some really cute series that deal with little girls and summertime, and but monsters. I don't know about monsters.
What's
Paula, do you have a monster
what's
suggestion?
The one with the ghost? It's Sarah Normal. That's
that's a great series.
Sarah Normal is great for that age. It's about the right length. It's a little bit illustrated, and she talks to ghosts, which, you know, maybe a little morbid for your taste, but you know, the real fortunate thing about the Monster High books from your perspective is there aren't that many of them. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but kids, you know kids will read what they want to read. And, you know, if you tell her not to, then she's going to find it at somebody else's house. Judy Blume herself once said that if she really wanted her son to read something, she'd leave it out on the coffee table and say, "Don't read this book." I'm sorry, I don't have better news on that one. But look for Sarah Normal. I think you might like it.
Okay, well, thank you.
Cheryl, thanks so much. Great to have you on the air with us. 410-319-8888, the books of the summer for your children. You were about to share something.
Yeah, I have some more. Well, we haven't talked about nonfiction yet. There are some really great informational books that are out. There's the Seibert Award that libraries give out every year to the best informational text. And I have some really fun ones. I think these are really high interest. How They Croaked, The Awful Ends of the Awfully Famous by Georgia Bragg, illustrated by Maryland's own Kevin O'Malley.
How They Croaked.
Yes, How They Croaked.
It's gross.
It's gross. It really is. So it tells the tragic ends of, you know, Julius Caesar and Cleopatra and King Tut. And it's all all grossology. So it's lots of high interest maybe for a boy or girl who really is into that gory stuff. But it's, I mean, it's very safe and it's all real, which is great.
I might like that.
And oh, Paula so and I fun. Were talking about this one, Buried Alive. Mm. And I know Paula had a very strong reaction, as did I, to this book, about the miners that were trapped. What was that, 2006?
Oh,
in Chile.
In Chile. Chile. Yep.
Chile, yeah.
And that one is, it's very short, but it's all true story, and it's told from their perspective, and great photographs, and just there's so many great nonfiction books. I can't talk enough about them. They're written like these fast-paced, mm-hmm.
really?
You know, they feel like fiction. They really right. do. They're very creative, and you learn something new when you're reading them, even if it's a story that you've heard in the news before or in history. So I would definitely recommend these maybe to some kids who are, you know, a little bit reluctant to get into books. Maybe pick whatever their interest is and give them some good nonfiction.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also some of the schools put, you know, when they do their reading list, they say, you know, you have to read one nonfiction book every mm-hmm. summer. And so that's actually one of the easiest things to do recommendations for when parents and families come in, because you could just go like, you know, what do you like? You like dolphins? You like sharks? I have a graphic novel, the first in Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales. And this is nonfiction graphic novel. Very funny. Hilarious. The first one was called One Dead Spine. It was about Nathan Hale. The second one was Big Bad Ironclad, about the Monitor and the Merrimack. And then the third one's coming out really soon. It's called Donner Dinner Party, about the Donner Party.
Oh, my God.
But I have seen kids
walk cannibalism into for your child.
It's all true, though. It's nonfiction. I've seen kids walk into walls while reading this book because it's so interesting and it's so funny.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
So what are young people reading at the library? What are they taking out?
Well, Diary of a Wimpy Kid is still really popular. And so we try to give them maybe some others. Origami
Big
Yoda
Nate.
Is a good
yeah.
one. Big Nate. The nerd books. Charlie Joe Jackson. He's another great one. So I see that flying off the shelves. I know the teens are reading. There's a new I Am Number 4 book coming out. What's it called, Paula? Falling into 5? Or
I don't know.
The Fall of Number 5. And I've had a lot of kids ask for that as well. I don't think it's out just quite yet. Anything that's in pop culture, it tends to be what's being asked for a lot. But I would say Diary of a Wimpy Kid still gets asked for on the regular. Absolutely.
I've been seeing a lot of interest in a couple of new series that are out. There's one called Tales from Lovecraft Middle School. And, you know, granted, everything I've brought seems to be gross. But these books are actually very gentle, given that they're full of monsters. They're about a really nice kid trying to navigate the pitfalls of a new middle school. But since it's Lovecraft Middle School, named after H.P. Lovecraft, the pitfalls, you know, they're actual pits.
There's other books I've been discovering that I've been talking to some of our listeners about. Like Mofaro's Beautiful Daughters.
Oh, that's a gorgeous
sure.
book. Yeah, we actually had the Waldorf School's Children's Garden Marionette come and adapt that as a play at
really?
Our libraries. Yeah, this past school year. But it's a beautiful book.
Sure.
Folk tale, gorgeous illustrations, and definitely stands the test of time. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is it African folk tale?
African folk tale.
That mm-hmm. was just brought to life. Just really. This is for like elementary school kids, right?
Yes. They're, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Third, fourth grade
is what I would put
graders,
it at. Absolutely.
Which I think is a really cool book.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some really fine art in children's books that people often just kind of poo-poo. Oh, it's just a children's book. It's not high art. But these are fine, trained artists. And,
yeah.
and I think Mufaro's Beautiful Daughters is an example of gorgeous art.
Is that E.B. Lewis? I can't remember. Yeah, I always feel sorry for grown-ups because they don't get sequential illustration like in a, mm-hmm. like kids get for a picture book.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. 410-319, I agree. 410-319-8888. Join us here. I want to hear what you're thinking about books for your children. What are they reading? There's some books, you know, that we were talking about the other day. We're actually going to have some of these authors on. Because sometimes authors, you know, the tackling difficult subjects are hard to do in kids' books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's a book that we discovered, actually because of the New York Times, which is William Sutcliffe. He wrote this book, The Wall. And it's just, he's an Israeli guy. He wrote this book about this kid living in a settlement who finds a tunnel that leads him to a Palestinian town.
No
way. He becomes friends with this young girl named Layla, who's Palestinian. And it's what it does to open his world.
Wow.
By going through this tunnel.
Wow.
Okay, I'll
talk about difficult subjects.
that could be on its way for one of the major awards, I think.
Huh.
Coming up in the next
picture
year.
Book or chapter book?
It's a chapter book.
Huh.
Wow.
All right.
I'll put that on my to-read list.
Yeah, and it's not too often you could stump the both of us, I would say.
Yeah.
And the other ones in the series were like, there's a woman named, who I think is Palestinian, Naomi Shihab Nye's Habibi.
Yeah.
Which is just a lovely book. And Rhonda Abdullah Fatah's Where the Streets Had a Name, which is another book in this series of kind of Palestinian Arab stories that people are, there's come out. Elizabeth Laird has something called A Little Piece of Ground, which is a really tough book. It's really tackles what kids go through growing up in Palestine and the West Bank and what their lives are like. But these are kind of books that tackle very tough subject.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our kids can wrestle with those things.
Absolutely.
And enjoy the reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think books are an opportunity to talk about difficult subjects without having a personal conversation necessarily about them. So you're talking about these characters and their experiences, and you're having a safe environment to discuss it. And it gives you a chance to think about things that you may have not thought about before. And I think kids can absolutely handle it, especially framed in a book that's written for them. They can definitely understand it and grapple with it. And I just think it's a wonderful forum for difficult conversations. Absolutely.
Some of the best historical fiction gives kids like that chance to go, what would I do?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if I were in a concentration camp, if mm-hmm. I were, you know, shipped off to Siberia, like in Between Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah.
By Ruta Sepetys that came out last year. And, you know, there's a book I brought called PSB 11, which is the sequel to a book called One Crazy Summer by Rita Williams Garcia that won a bunch of acclaim last year. And this is an African-American family in 1968, all girls, and they've moved back to Brooklyn.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know that series of books. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Their parents have split up, and in this sequel, they have an uncle who has returned from Vietnam. The oldest girl is expected to take care of her little sisters. And, you know, it really gives a kid a chance to go, like, what if I were that kid? How would I respond? Would I tell that grandmother to shine on, or would I be trying to toe the line?
Mm-hmm. Right. And also the kids who go through that themselves have an interesting historical perspective on what happened in 68.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting to see those major events through a child's eyes.
That's right.
I think that's something they also don't get. You know, in school you're reading it in a textbook or you're being taught. But here, you know, especially One Crazy Summer is great. I mean, it's just really this little girl's perspective and her experience, you know, at that time. So it's wonderful.
Well, it's one of the few books that, you know, Black Panthers show up in kind of a positive light.
They were always positive in my life, but that's what.
Well, you know, in children's books, where are you going to get the Black Panthers coming in?
Because they actually used to have reading programs.
So yes.
They had like children's libraries where they would read to kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big piece of the whole Panther world was daycare, feeding kids, reading to kids, sharing books.
And that's featured very much in One Crazy Summer.
Right. Well, it can be hard. You can see how it would have been hard to explain until Rita Williams Garcia took it on last year.
Yep.
She's a great author. She'd be fun. Actually, I'd like to interview her. That'd be an interesting interview to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Give me an idea, see?
See? Okay.
See, yeah, that's an idea. So give us a couple more books before we have to roll on.
Okay, sure. Well, I brought another picture book called Open This Little Book by Jesse Klossmeyer, illustrated by Susie Lee, who did a beautiful book called Wave, which was all black and white with blue waves. And this one is, as you read it, a series of smaller and smaller and smaller books all the way down into. So it's this beautiful manipulation of paper.
I love it.
And then as you finish the book, you
close smaller and smaller.
Each of the books
and wild.
Wind up at
with
the very end.
Book. Oh, it's the other way around.
Opening
from
another.
Small to big.
Yes, exactly. So it's beautiful manipulation of paper. This is a very new book that just came out and one that I think kids will really get a kick out of just because of how visual it is and how the pages turn. So it's a great one.
There's a lot of developmental benefits to books like Open This Little Book and the one you mentioned before, Inside and Outside.
Yes.
Turning a page and recognizing even the order in which a book will go, we take it for granted, of course, but, you know, when you're very, very tiny, you don't necessarily get it. And turning pages is a really important thing for kids to begin to grasp. Wordless books are also really great in that way
really
because
fantastic.
they ask the child to construct the narrative. Like, you can get a very small pre-reading kid to tell you the story based on the pictures. Mm-hmm. And that way they get an early grasp of this is what a book does.
Right.
Well, this has been fascinating. I appreciate it. I hope you will come back as we continue our literature conversations for kids over the summer.
Great.
Absolutely.
This is great. And you gave me some great ideas. And I stumped the librarians, which I love. Jessica Brown is Children's Services Coordinator for the Enoch Pratfield Library here in Baltimore City. Paula Willey is part-time librarian at the Parkville branch of the Baltimore County Public Library. And Paula, thank you for coming in as well.
Oh, I'd love to.
Good anytime. To have you all here.
Thanks so much, Mark.
On our way out. Oh, wait a minute. I got to find that. It's over here. It just fell. I've got to pick it up, and there it is. I want to remind you all that support for WEAA is provided in part by AAA Mid-Atlantic. More information at AAA.com/discounts. We read our underwriting engagement, so let me just remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Ennery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton, who thinks he's going on vacation, but we're not going to let him. Our theme music is by Warren Matthews of Clean Cuts. Did you hear this show again, podcast, any of our past shows, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Our interns today are Daniel Dupree, Sinead Hawkins, and Albert Phillips Jr. You can also download and listen to our podcast now on iTunes, so do that. So for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, stay tuned now for Michelle Martin and Tell Me More. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Have a lovely day.